Well, again, happy Mother's Day, everybody. And Mom, I know you're watching. Happy Mother's Day. We'll see you later. You know, I know that for some, Mother's Day can be emotionally difficult because for those who maybe have lost their mother, it could be a bittersweet day. And then for those who maybe are wanting to be a mother and are not yet, I know that can be difficult as well. And you know, for those people, I would say there's so many daughters who are looking for a spiritual mother or a mother that can mentor them, a mother that can speak into their life. So you don't necessarily have to have a biological child in order to be a mom to somebody else. And so, you know, always be looking for that because you've got something in you that's worth giving, and that's the way God made you. But I was, of course, I was blessed to be raised by an awesome mother. And so today I wanted to pay tribute to her a little bit and just talk about her. And when I talk about her, what she's taught me, I want you to know that I know there's lots of awesome mothers watching out there today. So all of you watching, I know you're an awesome mom. But my sermon today is called The Lessons My Mom Taught Me. So, you know, when your parents have told you a story so many times that you're not quite sure anymore if you actually remember the story or if you just remember it because they've told it to you so many times, right? So it's one of those moments where I was like, do I actually have the memory? But we'll go with it. The earliest memory I have is me sitting in front of the mirror and my mom, I'm like maybe close to 3 years old. I'm sitting in front of the mirror and my mom is like brushing my hair with like some strange oil, rubbing it into my skull. Well, she was my skull because it was supposed to be hair, but I was bald still at the age of three. And I'm sitting in front of the mirror and my mom is like rubbing this oil in and brushing my hair. And my earliest memory is me going, when mommy, when me have hair, when mommy? Yeah, and you know, and she, I know you're having a tough time believing this. I know I can see it on your faces because of my hair right now, but I have a picture I'm going to show you. We'll put the picture up of me and my baldness and my brother and my mama. Yep, there I was, bald. Yeah, Hayne had the mop of hair, see? Yep. Yep. So, you know, and my mom would be rubbing this oil in my hair, and I remember her clearly saying to me, you know what, Cindy, you are going to have a thick head of hair. In Jesus' name, you're going to have a thick head of hair. And, you know, here I was, the first problem I ever encountered in my little life. The first problem I ever encountered, and my mom's solution to it was faith. She taught me that faith is important, that speaking to your problem and confessing and believing God's word is important. And she'd say, Cindy, you're going to have a thick head of hair in Jesus' name. You know, and I have her to thank for this hair. You think, oh, it's just in your genes. Have you seen my brother? Okay. She didn't pray over his head. See, I'm just saying, people. I'm just saying, could have gone either way here. No, and you know, she would do everything in the natural to make it grow as well. My mom, she tried everything. She rubbed lemon juice in my hair. She put oils in it. And then she heard that if you perm the hair, somehow the solution makes the hair grow. So here I am. I'm no lie. I'm like maybe 4 years old at this time, and I've got a few hairs. She takes me to the salon, and she says to them, I want you to perm her hair. And they're looking at me like, first of all, like what hair? And then they're like, no, she's four. We don't perm four-year-olds. My mom is like, put the curlers in her hair. So here I am sitting. They were not happy, but they put four curlers in my hair and perm my hair. Yes, you know. My hair did start to grow. I don't know if it was the perm at the time, but no, I know for a fact it was my mom's faith because her favorite scripture, I have a scripture, we're going to put it up on the screen for you. It's Hebrews 11 verse 1, and I don't even think that you need to look it up. I know most of you know it. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that scripture is like my mom's favorite. I grew up with that scripture. I know it. Faith is so important. It is what you hold on to. It is that evidence when you don't know the outcome, when you're waiting, when you're like, I'm believing for this thing. That's when you use your faith. That's when you trust God and say, no, I know God, you've got a solution. I'm trusting you for the answer. And you use your faith on it. And I know my hair did start to grow, and I have a cute picture already when I was just 5 years old. So you see the huge difference in my hair by the time I was five, if we have that picture. Yep. There, yeah, it started to shoot out. And of course, we were very photogenic from a young age, Hane and I. Yeah, that was one of the better ones I could find. But you know, I owe it all to her, as I say. But you know, it's never too late to start using your faith for something. You know, maybe if you're sitting there watching today and maybe you're in a good place, you don't necessarily have a financial battle or a health battle or something pressing you. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that faith pleases God. I want to please God. I think we all want to please God, right? That's why you're even watching today, because you want to know more about God. How do I please God? Well, faith pleases him. And it doesn't mean it has to be some massive thing that you're believing for. It can be something small, something in your life. What do you want to change? What is it that you want to change about? Maybe there's something you want to change about yourself, or you want to take a step out and try a new career. You know, we want to do something different, and you're going to need to have faith. You need to trust God. That's what faith means. It means to really, really trust God for the outcome. So you find that scripture that promises you what you're believing for, that God says, look, you can have this, whether it's whatever it is, and you believe it and you confess it over your life and you start thanking God for the end result. You know, if it's that career change, you're like, God, I thank you that as I make these steps that you're going to shine your favor upon me and that this will be a success, that you're going to bless me, you're going to give me wisdom. You know, it's that faith, even in the small area. So what in your life can you find this week to trust God for? To believe him for, to have faith in. Maybe it's just for peace this week. Maybe you've been struggling with something. You're like, I need to just walk in peace this week. Something, you know, doesn't have to be. I know there are people fighting health battles or fighting financial battles. And so, yes, you need to be using your faith. You need to be trusting God. But it's important, I think, to even do it in the small things. Because you learn to build that muscle, as mom would always say. You learn to build your faith muscle because you're using it on the small things. And maybe it is believing for your hair not to fall out. I mean, whatever it is, I'm sure you can find something to be trusting God to be using your faith for. The second lesson my mom taught me was conquer your fear. And there's a great scripture, and that is 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Folks, this scripture you should memorize. You should stick it up on your mirrors. You should write it on your mirrors. You should go home and handwrite it out 20 times. You should plaster it anywhere you can. You should get this scripture memorized into your head, into your heart. Bring it out in conversation. This would change your whole life. One scripture. People are like, oh, I'm reading the Bible in 1 year. I'm like, did you remember any of it? Did you apply one word of it? Or are you just trying to cross it off your list and say, oh, I did it. But your life is no evidence of it. Take this one scripture and it would change your entire life. Because right now, what people are experiencing outside is a spirit of fear. A spirit of fear has come. And what does God say about that? He says, no, no, I've given you power. See, the Holy Spirit inside of you is power. That's what he is. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is inside of you. So he's given you power. And he's given you love because he is love. So guess what? We should be saying, I am love. That's what I say. I say, thank you, God, that I am love, that people eat the fruit of my life because you're in me and you're love, so I am love. And then it says, and a sound mind. Please, God, give our governor a sound mind. A sound mind. That's what you're promised when you believe in Jesus, when you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. He says to you, you have the choice to have a sound mind. That's what it is. So you have to take authority. You have to say, no, I'm not going to have the spirit of fear. I'm going to have a spirit of this. The Holy Spirit's in me. This is the promise God made to me. So you need to get this in you. You need to be saying this. You need to be meditating on this scripture until it becomes a revelation, because it will change your whole world. If you are powerful, if you are filled with love, and if you have a sound mind, what more can you ask for, people? You'll be making the right decisions. You'll be sharing with other people. You'll be walking in kindness and love and sharing the good news of God. You won't be fearful of what's coming. You'll be bold as a lion. Hello? One scripture, folks. One scripture can change your whole life. That's how powerful the word of God is. And I totally got ahead of myself. So anyway, back to my mom. So my mom had a fear of heights when I was growing up, okay? I know a lot of people have this fear. So, but she had a fear of heights. And when she became, obviously, started to read the Bible more and really delve into God's word and see these kinds of scriptures, she started to say, you know, I don't need to have this fear. The Bible says I don't need to have any fear, so why should I have this fear? And she started believing and trusting God. And then one day she said, I'm going to prove to all of you that I am over my fear of heights. So she decided as a family, we would climb Table Mountain. If you don't know Table Mountain, it is one of the iconic places in South Africa. It is a very tall mountain. It is one of the oldest mountains in the world, and it is steep. And so she decided as a family, we would climb. So I think I have a picture from that day as well. There we are, setting out to climb the mountain, which, you know, we thought looked more like the view on the left, but it ended up looking more like the track on the right. It ended up being a lot steeper than when we thought it was going to be, and quite tiring as well. But we did make it to the top. And I'm going to show you another photo that we took in 2017 when we went back to South Africa. There's a cable cart that you take up. Oh, and you take a cable car up to the top of the mountain. This is a picture taken from the top, folks. Can you see how high that is? Okay. That is very, very high. Don't worry. We took the cable car up and down that time. Yeah, my mom's sitting over there in a wheelchair. She went all over the bumps, all over at the top, but in the wheelchair. But we did it again. You know, and this goes to show you what you can accomplish when you trust God. You can overcome whatever fear that maybe you have lived with your whole life. You don't have to live with it. And I think people, we all realize that there's emotions that come up. You can be afraid of something. You can have to deal with anxiety about something. Trust me, life is filled with challenges that almost every day you can have a fearful moment, or you can have something that brings stress or brings anxiety. And that's okay as long as you work through it and keep going. It's when people start to personalize it and embrace it and wrap their arms around it and say, my anxiety. Oh, when I talk to that person, my anxiety flares up. Or when I go over here, my depression comes back. Those words, my, that means you've embraced that. Because somebody told you, oh, that's just in your blood. That's just how you are. Or somebody said, oh, that runs in your family. Or I've been this way since I was a child. It doesn't matter. Guess what? The blood of Jesus is in your veins now. So you have the power, you have the authority to change what's in your blood, what your past looks like, what your family has done. You have that power to change it. The scripture tells you, you can make the change. And guess what? You don't have to do it on your own. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. People keep saying, I can't do this. I've tried it before. It's like, yeah, you keep trying it by yourself. Do you know what it looks like to trust the Holy Spirit, to say, Holy Spirit, I really need you here. I need your help here. Holy Spirit, I'm trying. And then the next day you're like, oh, I'm dealing with it again. Holy Spirit, I'm trusting you. I'm quoting that scripture and we're moving forward. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He's your helper. He's your comforter. He's your guide. And, you know, like Dad said, when Jesus was hanging on the cross and that scripture where it says Jesus looked ahead and saw. And, you know, when he gave us that revelation that God gave him, is that when Jesus was in agony hanging on the cross, wondering how I'm going to finish this, the Holy Spirit was comforting him, giving him that vision of us. That's what the Holy Spirit was doing for Jesus. So we need him. Every time he gives you that vision of look what your life could look like, you're going to get through this. That's the Holy Spirit. You need to hang on to that and stop fighting that and stop saying, oh no, that's just not how it's going to go. Because you're fighting against the Holy Spirit. He's trying to show you, This is a positive. Look at this vision of yourself. Look at how happy you are. Look how strong you are. Look how healthy you are. Look at your great relationship. So when he shows you those glimpses, don't fight it and say, oh, that's not me, or that's, don't believe the lie. Believe the Holy Spirit. He's trying to help you. He's trying to get you through this. Cling to that and say, yeah, you know what? I've believed the other stuff long enough. I'm going to cling to this dream. I'm going to hold on to this dream. You can make the change in your life, whatever it is that you want to make, and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And then maybe for some of you, it's going to be a little test one day when you're like, you know what? I'm going to go and climb that mountain to show I'm over my fear. I'm going to go and talk to a stranger about Jesus and show that I'm over my fear. You know, I know some people think, oh, I don't have a fear. I've never experienced, a fear of anything. But they say most people are afraid of change. They have a fear of change. The reason why they won't quit their job and follow their passion or write a book or do something, they've done it because the fear of failure. What happens if I fail? Or what happens if I change this and then it doesn't work? Life is full of change. It's a silly thing to fear because you're constantly changing. So trust God. Say, God, you know, I'm going to take a chance on this. I'm going to take a chance on this dream that I feel like you've put in my heart. I'm going to take a leap of faith and do it. Stop letting whatever fear is holding you back control you, because God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Awesome. So my mom has taught me many, many lessons in life, but the last one that she taught me, and although I have seen it in her life throughout my life, this last year, it really just kind of hammered it home. And that the last lesson is never give up. So 1 year ago today, we were away on our honeymoon, and it was Mother's Day. And my dad called us. We were away on the honeymoon in Cancun, and it was Mother's Day. My dad called us, and he said that the myasthenia gravis, the autoimmune that mom had been fighting, it affects her muscles around her lungs, and she had gotten sick with just a cold virus, and within 4 days, it had turned to pneumonia. And on Mother's Day, 1 year ago today, they checked her into the ICU and put her on a ventilator. And basically life support. She could no longer breathe on her own. So technically this machine was keeping her alive. And it was very difficult to be so far away, knowing that she's on a ventilator fighting for her life over here on Mother's Day. And the reports that the doctor were telling us were just terrible, because, you know, she might not ever recover. You might have to put a tube in her throat, just horrendous things that they were telling us. And, thank God for the ventilator, because it did what saved her life. But the medication they give you to sedate you while you're on it causes so much damage to the body that when she came out of that and we were in the Remington Club for another month, she had basically dementia. Like she was like Alzheimer's. She was stuck in a loop. She was fearful of everything. She didn't want to do anything. She was resistant. She was ridiculously weak. And there was just one problem after next. And we didn't know. And because with the MG, certain things you give her makes that worse and aggravated. And it just became such a long struggle, as I know many of you are aware of, because we were keeping you updated throughout the year. And by the end of November, I remember we went to shower her when she was back home, and now she'd gotten so weak, and we didn't realize at the time that a lot of this was also because of the steroids she was on and the medication. That I remember that day when we showered her, we were like three of us trying to hold her up in the chair. She was completely, she had no strength, doubled over. And I remember crying, because I was like, wow, I've never wanted to admit, but I think she is literally at death's door. And, but my mom is a fighter. Say fighter. Yeah, if you're at home, comment, I'm a fighter. And that's what my mom is. You know, I want to show you a picture. This is a hard picture to see, but I want you to be able to see. This is her in the hospital a year ago. And this is the condition when they were like, you know, she might not make it. It's hard for people. I know it's a hard picture to see, so we won't leave it up long. But around that time, the Holy Spirit, my dad is constantly every night praying with my mom, speaking the word of God over her, praying with her every night. And we're standing in faith, believing. And the Holy Spirit started to give us revelation that some of these medications were causing the problems. And so we started reducing the medications. And then in January, it was just like suddenly she started to get well. Little things started to come back, a little cognitive, a little bit of strength. Let me tell you, she was so weak, she couldn't lift a glass to her mouth. She couldn't hold her toothbrush. She didn't understand cognitively what that looked like. She couldn't get words out. She'd say, I'm like, you're trying to ask for something? And she'd just shake her head. She couldn't even get the words out. And then suddenly in January, there started to be this change. This just started coming back. Little things, little bit at a time. And my dad said one day, he's like, this is the slowest miracle I've ever seen. But it was a good thing. I mean, it's like a miracle. Like every step of the way when they said, you know, you're down and out, you're gone for the count. No, here she goes. She started fighting, started coming back, getting stronger, being able to move her arms cognitively. We're like, what? And then by March, this is a picture we have, March for Dad's birthday, the family, March 25th, Mom, we got her up. She was sat at the table. She can't smile on command. So she is happy. After the stroke, she was never able to smile on command. So don't worry about the not smile, but she was so much stronger by this point. She sat up at the table with us. She was conversing and talking, and she was able to sit up in a chair for 2 hours, which was a miracle. Like, so, you know, and this is what's happened here is this is my mom. This is all the years of faith, all the years that she has sown into her spirit man, all the years that she has been reading the scriptures, filling her heart with faith, learning about healing. What does that mean? She had been strengthening her spirit man, growing her spirit man, because that is what you need to do. Because when the attack comes, when the hurricane comes, it's too late to try and build your house then. You need to be building your house when you're strong, when you're healthy, when you've got nothing going on in your body. That's when you should be diving in and reading the scriptures on healing. That's when you should be believing God for divine health. That's when you should be taking authority over the little headache and trusting God and saying, no, I'm not. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I'm whole. And that's what she did. So for years, she was building her spirit man, putting the word of God in. So then when she had to face that very lost fear, that fear that pretty much almost every human has thought about at one point or another in their life, and that is the fear of death. But her spirit man was so strong. It didn't matter how weak her body was or how weak her mind was. See, because fear must have thought she was faithless when it came for her life. But her spirit man looked death in the face and said, not today. Not today, Satan. Not dying today. And that is what your spirit man does when your flesh is weak, when your mind is weak, when your body is weak. When you have filled your spirit man with the word of God, it will fight for you. There were times when my mom couldn't talk, and she said she would barely get words out. And she said, I was praying in the spirit while I was sleeping. Like, that's what your spirit man can do. So it is important to be filling yourself with the word of God. You can be powerful. You can be a fighter. You can overcome. You must never give up. We ask her now, you know, why didn't you give up? You were so close there. And she said, I knew God said it. It's not your time. He's not done with me yet. He's not done with me yet. I'm never going to give up. I'm going to fight. And if we could have that spirit, I'm never giving up. It doesn't matter if I have to look death in the face. I'm going to say, not today, Satan. Not dying today. Not going that way today. Not going down that hole of depression today. Not following that anxiety today. No, I'm not living in that state of fear today. I'm getting healthy. I'm getting strong. I'm going to walk in peace. I'm going to walk in God's joy, because I'm not going down today, Satan. I'm never giving up, because God's got a plan. He said he's got a plan for you. So what is he, telling the truth or not? He's got a plan. In it, find it, live in it. Say, no, I've got God's plan, and this is what I'm going to walk in, and I'm never giving up. Say, never give up. Never give up. Because that's the kind of mother I grew up with. That's the lessons my mom taught me. This last picture I took on Friday, right before I preached this Sunday, I wanted to show you, this is Mom walking with me to the wheelchair. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Mom. That's her standing up, walking, people. What a miracle. To God be all the glory. God does miracles. But let me just tell you, He expects you to do your part. He's given you promises that promise you a sound mind, that promise you love, that promise you power, that promise you healing. You have to live in those promises. You have to embrace those promises, not embrace the lies that the enemy keeps telling you or that the world keeps telling you. You have to rather embrace His promise. And your miracle will happen. So thank you, Mom, for all the lessons you taught me. Thank you to all those moms that are out there teaching their kids these awesome lessons. We love you, mothers.